This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend more time on rides and less time in line enjoying Walt Disney World. And be sure to use discount code NERDS2016 for 20% off. That's TouringPlans.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 150 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going and welcome back. This is Ed, and we've got a really good show for you tonight. We've done this once before and we're going to do it again because we had such a fun time. It's time for Wheel of Attractions. Before we start, let me introduce who I have on the show tonight. First off, Charlotte. Hey, Charlotte, how's it going?
It's going great, Ed. I'm so glad to be on tonight for Wheel of Attractions. I love this segment.
Oh, I know. It's a fun one.
Very fun.
Very fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have Jimmy with us tonight. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
Hello. I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
Great. Great. Before we go on, I wanted to really kind of thank Charlotte. If anybody listened to show number 149 last week, we heard all about the cruises. And I'm ready to go on another cruise already.
I'm so ready. That just made me eager.
I need to go. I've never been, so I need to try it out.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you have the experts here to help you out, that's for sure.
Yep.
Well, for tonight's show, we're going to do the Wheel of Attractions. For those that don't know, we use a carnival wheel mounted in my office. And basically every ride from Walt Disney World is located on that wheel. We'll take turns, give it a spin, and wherever it lands, we're going to go ahead and talk about it. So basically we're talking about randomized attractions. What do you think, guys? You ready for this?
So ready. Let's go.
Awesome. I love it because we don't know what we're going to talk about. And to me, that's the fun part about it, because you kind of just really have to have that brain dump real quick and kind of figure out what you know about it and what you remember. But anyway, so here we go. And ladies first, go ahead, Charlotte, give the wheel a spin.
All right, here we go.
Okay, there it goes. And that's a hard spin.
Wow, that thing's really moving.
I'm
okay.
Small, but I'm mighty.
Okay, well, it is starting to slow down.
Good Lord, is it ever going to stop?
Never.
Here it goes. Disney's Phineas and Ferb's Agent P's World Showcase Adventure.
Fun!
Wow. Now, I tell you what, it's something that takes place over at Epcot, and it's been going on for about 4 years now, maybe? And it took the place of...
I think it's three years, because I know 4 years ago it just popped up on my Time Hop and we were playing Kim Possible.
Oh, there you go. And that's what I say. It took the place of Kim Possible when they had that in the parks. So basically this is an adventure game you get to play with your cell phone now, I understand. Mm-hmm. But they used to give you cell phones, and you're basically going to go around the park on different missions with Phineas and Ferb and Agent P, basically the platypus.
Oh, it's Harry so the platypus.
Fun. And you do see him. Smirch, what's his name? Dr.
Doofenshmirtz.
Doofenshmirtz.
Somebody on the Facebook page actually posted a picture of him in Mexico with his big laser gun. And they're like, who's this guy? We saw him in the Mexican pavilion. We have no idea what it is.
Like, he popped up for a minute and then he disappeared.
That was very cool, because a lot of people don't realize that is going on, and you're walking around World Showcase, and all of a sudden you see this kid aiming at a building, and something pops out, or water squirts somewhere. I mean, it's just so much fun, and as soon as you see it and you realize what people are doing, you want to go play too.
Oh, no doubt. So basically what happens is the phone tells you what to do when you go to different locations. Once you get to the different locations, it's then activated, or you activate different types of things to happen, live action things. In China, you do something that activates some steam that comes up in the water, and then this mystical monument comes out of the water. Paris, there was something really cool next to the Eiffel Tower, where I think Agent P was kind of dropping down on a cable or something like that. England really stuck out, too. When you went to the England Pavilion, you went around the behind it, and there was this window that filled up with water, and you got your clue that way, or you figured out what was going on there. So I loved it because you went to places you didn't normally go.
I have never – I've actually never done it in this iteration. I did the Kim Possible one. Obviously, if you're around the parks and just hanging out and paying attention around Epcot, you'll see people play it and some of the effects. And one of the things we did notice recently, though, we were in that last store in the United Kingdom. And there's two stores that you walk from one into the other, but there's a little alleyway and there's a window. And there's still some, like, building blocks that spell Kim, which is my wife's name, too, so we thought it was interesting. But the only thing we could figure is that was left over from the Kim Possible attraction.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Very possible.
Probably.
I do like that you don't always start in the same spot. Like, when you go to register, you can there's different spots around World Showcase that you can start your game. And so – like what you were saying in England, I've never seen that because I've never been over in that spot. So now I'm going to have to see if I can get over there for the next time we play.
Right.
It's definitely a great adult game. I mean, you think that's, you know, a good kid game, and it is. It's fun for the whole family. But I think the last time I played it was just a group of grown women as we drank our way around the world and played with Agent Perry.
Sure, it gives you something to follow and something different to do.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, no, we have a really good time with that. We had a good time with it because our kids were at the beginning of the tweens, so, you know, 9, 10 when Kim Possible was around, and then, you know, into their early teens with Agent P.
Right.
And it worked out pretty good because they were able to handle the phones pretty much themselves and things like that. Strict rules, though. I do this clue, you do that clue, holding the phone and stuff like that.
Sure.
But very fun, very fun.
What a great first spin. Yay.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt.
If we've got time while we're down, we should try and do that as a group.
Well, sure, and there's no way to know how long it's going to be around.
True.
Right.
Okay, well, let me set the randomizer. Let me set the wheel back up, and I think Jimmy's going to spin it this time. So go ahead, Jimmy, give that a big spin.
Go, Jimmy.
Here we go.
Okay, there it goes. And
wow.
Well, maybe we'll come back in a couple minutes if that's not going to stop.
I mean, I think he sent it into orbit.
Oh, well, it's slowing down. Nah, it's slowing down, and it's going to be Liberty Square Riverboat.
Oh, nice.
You're speaking my language now.
Right. Well, I've only ridden this maybe the last... In the last 3 years is the only times I've ever ridden. I've never actually taken the time before that. And it is well worth the 20 minutes, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think one of the biggest advantages, one of the biggest things about the riverboat ride is not even really the riverboat, but the views you get from the riverboat. You get crazy good view of Big Thunder Mountain and a crazy good view of Haunted Mansion.
Oh, sure. Definitely. Plus, all along the river, they have all these dioramas set up from smugglers on the river to Indian camp and other things.
The narration is also fantastic.
I just love it. It's just so quaint and simple. It's just so laid back and relaxing. Those dioramas are so awesome, too, because if you don't go on the riverboat, you won't know they're there. You'll never see them. Now, you can see a little bit when you're on the train. You go through certain mm-hmm. spots, but the riverboat just has the best vantage point completely.
Yep.
It's just such
a
great way to – and also a great way to break away from the crowds for a little bit, get away off the street, maybe get a little breeze in your hair.
I'm shaking my head to all these things. You're right on as far as what we think about it, definitely. One time we were on it and we were going around that back end where the railroad tracks are close and the riverboat and the train were having a whistle battle.
That's awesome.
So it was pretty cool.
That's so cool.
Have you ever listened to, when you're on the riverboat, it's kind of hard to hear the narration almost, unless, especially depending on where you stand, if you're close to the engines or not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you can find them online. And the narration's really cool.
I actually have a great recording of that.
Do you?
One of the times I went on it. Now, something else that's cool to do on the riverboat, which is really nerdy, but I love the machinery and I love the machinery of the day. Watching that engine and the paddle wheel in the back spinning and the whole engineering factor of it, to me, it's incredible because you can see everything working back there. It's fenced off and you're not going to get to it because you're not going to get hurt, but you can definitely see the operation running. Awesome.
Yeah, very cool.
And you're right about the Haunted Mansion view. That is a pretty cool view. And going around Thunder Mountain, you're basically seeing kind of the backside of Thunder Mountain, especially since they added that whole area down at the bottom there where they have the geyser now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And one thing about the narration, it's so cool because you have Samuel Clemens, a young Samuel Clemens, talking about the Mississippi River and his tales and the stories and stuff, which is cool because you're going right around Tom Sawyer Island, so it fits.
Oh, sure. Right. Did you hear what a Mark Twain was? Did you hear that in the narration?
Yeah, Mark Twain is like the mark where they – so that's the – I think the minimum for safe passage basically is what it is.
Depth of water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's the Mark Twain, I think, is where the depth they – the minimum depth they need to pass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I always thought that was cool for his pen name.
Yeah, it is cool. Absolutely.
Very. So, depending on when you sail on there, if you kind of try to hit towards the very last sailings before they dock for the evening, you can get some amazing, amazing sunset, beautiful skies. Photos, if you're a photographer, if you love taking pictures, get on there when the sky is starting to change towards that last run of the evening, and you will get some fantastic shots, especially as you come around Big Thunder Mountain. It just is stunning. I have a couple of shots that every so often will pop up on my screensaver, and they aren't even processed yet. They're from several trips back. I am one of those terrible people that have thousands of pictures that are not processed, and it is not a processed picture, and every time it pops up, it still blows my mind. I'm like, oh, my God, mm-hmm. I need to pull that up and do that. And I was on the boat. I was on the last go-around for the evening before they docked it, and the sky was just an amazing color, and it was so worth it. I would love to be there right now.
it's amazing how that mountain glows at sunset, and you can see the sun on top of it as it's mm-hmm. like kind of touching at the end of the day. Very cool.
And I would say, you know, from a photographer's standpoint, depending on time of year and what time of the day you go, and you probably could find an area where there's enough room to even set up a tripod, if not a tripod, a monopod for sure, where you can kind of even make sure you get a real good steady shot.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the boat's not rough at all.
No.
You know, it's a very mm-hmm. steady ride. Okay. Well, very cool. Another good spin. I think that was a great one, actually.
That was really good.
We're going to try one more, and I'm going to spin it this time. So here we go. Not as hard as you guys, but it still works.
Okay, as long as it's the rule, it's got to make one.
I think you did pretty good.
Got to make one full turn. Is that the rule?
Trying to get a dollar.
Jimmy broke it.
Here it comes. It's slowing down. And it's the Mad Tea Party.
Oh, what a spin.
This just proved it's random. That's all I got to say about that.
Right.
Well, okay, starting right out, I used to love the Mad Tea Party. For those that don't know, the Mad Tea Party is basically a spinning ride in Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom that's been there forever.
Yeah, I was about to say it's a classic for sure.
Classic.
And I used to love it as a kid. I loved it as a young adult. However, in the last maybe 10 years, spinning rides are just not doing it for me. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll still go on all the roller coasters you can get me on, upside down, all that. But just the spinning, that really gets me. That throws me off. And that's like off for like an hour or two afterwards. So, but it was always a great ride. There's always great music in there. And it's always, to me, it was fun family ride. Because we all had a chance to spin that wheel in the center of it.
Oh, and you're all laughing at each other.
You're looking right at each other.
Knowing that you don't like it, now it gives me all the more incentive to try and get you on it.
Well, that's easy enough.
That's what makes it fun, right?
On the side with Ed, because I also can no longer do spinning rods, and it really is bad. The last time I rode it was last year during Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. My girls talked me on to getting onto it, and I literally needed to sit for the next hour just because it was so bad. And I know it's got to do with aging and the way our inner ear changes and all kinds of scientific things like that, but I cannot do spinning rides anymore if they want the ride to stay clean.
Right. And I convinced myself, I got to believe myself, because beforehand, every time I try it again, I'm like, there's no problem because I feel great. How can I feel so bad after it because I feel awesome now? And it always never fails. So I've convinced myself we're not going to try that.
That's
we'll see.
That's one of those white lie moments. No, Charlotte, come on. I'm not going to spin it. No, I promise. I'm not going to spin it, Charlotte.
Yeah, we all know better.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I know not to trust you at all. When you walk towards that ride, I will walk the other direction.
Right. Now, I tell you what, since we're at the Mad Tea Party, the teacups, next to it is a restaurant I never really noticed before because I'm usually walking past it on the way to Seven Dwarfs. And it's the Cheshire Cat Restaurant, which is like more of a breakfast type of lunch place. Yeah. And it's right before you get to the teacups. To your right is Cosmic Rays, and to your left is the Cheshire Cat. This is when you're kind of going through that one pathway right next to the castle where you go past Belle's story time or whatever she does in there.
Merida.
And I did notice it that last time, and I definitely want to try to stop there this time. Like that's one of those small, weird places that's on my list to check out. So cool. And if anybody on the scavenger hunt's listening to this, that might be a clue for later on.
Ding, ding, ding. We had a cupcake from there. They had some really good cupcakes in a cup, I think it was. It was interesting and it was unique to that one spot. And I can't remember if it was last year that we had it or the year before, but it was quite yummy and huge. We ended up having enough to split between two of us. So it was very nice.
I love any place in Walt Disney that does unique things. And it seems like they're getting the message about that. I think at one time, just about every place sold all the same stuff. And I think they're realizing that that's not the way to go. And they're doing a little more localized and individual things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it seems like once they find a winner, they do try to sneak that into a lot of different places. The macaroni and cheese bowl, I think, went a couple places after. What did they do? I think they debuted it at Illuminations. And now it's over in Magic Kingdom, I think, and over at Minnie and what's the boat on the
Dock
on
and
the
Echo Lake? Dock and
right. Mm-hmm. Or it's, yeah, or it was In and Out. But all that stuff's good. Okay, well, I tell you what. I think we have time for one more spin, and I think we're going to do it for Sam. We're going to spin this in honor of our friend Sam.
This one's for
he
you,
couldn't
Sam.
Make it tonight with you. He couldn't make it, so you know what, Charlotte? Spin it in Sam's name.
Okay, Sam, here we go.
Okay, there it goes.
You didn't really hardly spin it. You must not like Sam at all.
Oh, come on.
It's still moving.
It's getting around.
Yeah, I think your arm is sore from the first spin.
That's it.
That's slowing down.
Tore my rotator cuff on that first spin.
And it's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, good one.
Awesome. We should have done this one first. We could have talked the whole show.
Yeah,
whole show.
Okay, first thought that came to my mind about this is that now you don't have to decide which side of the line to go on anymore because you have no choice. And for those that don't realize that, before they had the fast passes with the armband fast passes, you used to be able to choose left or right on the line. Now, when you're coming back for your fast pass, you go to the right side.
Yep.
But Pirates of the Caribbean in Adventureland and Magic Kingdom, guys, first thoughts?
So my first thought, and this is just because 2 days ago I was sitting in my armchair looking at some YouTube videos, and there was a great, and I'm going to give the guy credit. It's the YouTube channel. It's called SoCal Attractions, and he does 4K full ride videos, and this was the best. He did one on the Pirates and one on Haunted Mansion, which are very – most videos you see are terrible because it's so dark in there.
Right.
This was fantastic. It was like you were there. That's how sharp and clean and bright it is. So it's a great, great attraction, and that's what had me watching it. But I was amazed at how good this video was.
Awesome. I got to check that out. Charlotte, first thoughts?
First thought is that this is a must-do, and you can't have a trip without doing Pirates. It is a classic, and it's different at both Walt Disney World, Magic Kingdom, and Disneyland. So if you, depending on where you go, you need to go on both of them because they're going to be entirely different, and they're going to have different comparisons, but they're both great. They're fantastic, and you have to go. I mean, if you miss Pirates, you've missed something that is so classic Disney. I mean, they built a whole movie franchise out of
– I was about to say, what other attraction can you say made the company billions with a B of dollars just on the story?
Right.
Yep.
And there's another one coming out, Pirates, which is crazy. And what's cool, though, that they did take advantage of that money, and they threw it back into the ride itself. So you do have Johnny Depp in the ride at a couple places, three places. Another thing that came out as far as thinking about it, probably about a year ago, I think they refurbed it, or maybe 6 months ago. Now I want to say like a year ago now. But anyway, when I went on it that first time back, the whole first scene where they have the two pirate ships, or the pirate ship, and they have the castle, and you're basically shooting back and forth – you can now hear the air going past your ear.
Yes.
As if it's a cannonball that just like whizzed right past you.
It has to be right about a year, Ed, because I think me and you rode together.
Right,
last
I agree.
October.
Actually, it was.
I think we all rode together for the first time since it had been refurbed.
Mm-hmm. And that to me was pretty incredible. Plus, they made Barbossa look a little bit more presentable. And one of the other things I noticed, the last ride, The mist curtain had it had the last two pirates.
Oh, Blackbeard.
It had Blackbeard, and it also had the guy with the tentacles. Yeah. So they are kind of going back and forth, which is kind of cool. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I love when they added the mermaids. I just thought that was kind of cool because they
I don't think they're gone. I think they're still there. You don't see the water moving like it was, but you do. I could have sworn I saw things on either side.
Maybe so.
Moving. But they were much better before.
Well, now I'm going to have to investigate multiple times.
So I'm not sure exactly what changed in there. The other thing now, on the last trip, I found something amazing in that my iPhone takes better pictures in the dark than my regular camera does. So I was taking pictures in Pirates with my iPhone, and I was just amazed at what I got. It treats the light very well. It gives it a lot of light.
No flash, right?
Correct. No flash.
Very I'll nice. Yell at you.
And curse you guys for the flash.
Oh, I will yell. Hey. They said no flash photography.
Right. I have been on rides, though, when there's nobody in front or behind, so I totally take advantage then.
Sure.
Splash Mountain's another one where I do that.
As long as you're not ruining it for somebody else, I don't think it matters. That's my thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, guys, hey, that was some great Wheel of Attraction spins.
Yeah, that was really fun. Now I'm ready.
23 days.
28.
Before I'm there.
Yeah, I'm probably closer to 27 then. Well, guys, we're talking about our meet down at Food and Wine. And we can't wait, and I hope to see everybody that can make it down there. We've got some great meets planned for you guys. And I just finished up the scavenger hunt, and I'm pretty happy with it.
I can't wait. I am so excited for the scavenger hunt because I get to play. I'm not looking at anything.
So that means
I want to
play. Preview it.
No previews for me because I want to play.
That's right. I have my team of reviewers, and we'll definitely make sure it's going to work. Well, that's it for show number 150, guys. I hope you had as much fun as we did thinking about these different attractions that we came up with. Again, the randomness of it is really cool because you kind of get the thoughts coming in your head and you remember the things that are most important to you sometimes, and it's pretty cool in that regard.
Yeah.
If you want to get in touch with the show and share some of those ideas or some of those reflections or memories, we'd love to hear from you. Jimmy, tell them how to get in touch with us.
You can email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Find us on Facebook, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Also the group, Disney Nerds, which is in all caps. Twitter, @TheDisneyNerds, and Instagram, @TheDisneyNerdsPodcast.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Guaharini.
Just keep swimming.
Kongaloosh.
That was your Sam.
And we're out.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your